the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Cereal Company in Forestville, California, and located online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TupperCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman Ali of ContramanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Michelle Jackson of Bones, Shells, and Curios.com in San Diego, California. Together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a quick moment, but first let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Contraman Ali. Miss Kat?
Thank you so much, Miss Tammy Lee. I hope you're having beautiful weather down there in Florida.
Yes, ma'am, and it's hot as it can be.
Oh, hot as it can be. You always surprise me. See, I don't go on the Weather Channel. I just get Miss Radio, Miss Tammy Lee, you know. It's always different than what we have here. We're having beautiful sun and shadow and a little bit of a light wind, and it just is a sweet spring day out here, but not hot, rather on the cool side. Well, it's always nice to be here on the show, folks. I'm going to catch everybody up a little bit what's happening around our place. One more week to go before the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. That's one more week, folks. So time to buy your tickets now. Now, we will be putting out one more Lucky Mojo newsletter before the event, which is on the 3rd and 4th of May, 2014. We will have one more newsletter out, but y'all just better buy your tickets now and be ready to come on out. We have something very special happening today. Last week, we had a giveaway, Hoodoo Psychics, which is an organization that offers psychic phone readings and root work by telephone, instant readings, presented two tickets to the festival as a giveaway. And this time, this week, we have two more tickets as giveaways. These are free tickets. They're street value, $140 per day, and these are free. So stay tuned, stay with the show. If you are anywhere in California and can make it, rather than have to, you know, get an airline ticket and all that, enter this contest now. The contest is being run by Deacon Millett on behalf of an anonymous donor. This is being put through to the public by Hoodoo Psychics, but we want to thank our anonymous donor, at least unless she wants to stay anonymous. I won't give her name now. But she contributed two free tickets. So if you can use them, one's for Saturday, one's for Sunday, and what we're going to do is have a drawing. So stay tuned for that drawing. That will be coming up at the end of the show. Now, the only other thing I have...
I think they can still sign up, too.
Yes, you can still sign up. Go on over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page or Deacon Millett's Facebook page, and he's got the pictures. It's on my page, too. Go to Catherine Ironwood's Facebook page and just scroll down. You'll see it. It looks like an old-fashioned ticket. Just do what it says. Sign up. We aren't going to select the winner till the end of the show, so this is an instant drawing. And, but you got to be able to show up. We're not going to give the tickets to people who won't show up. That would be a waste, right? All right, so this is for next week, Saturday and Sunday, one ticket per day, two tickets total. Sign up now. All right, now I've said my piece. Just do it, okay? And I hope that someone gets some good enjoyment out of this. And again, I want to thank our anonymous donor and thank Hoodoo Psychics for running the little giveaway contest. Now, what else is happening around here? We are working very hard. We've started the cleanup of the shop. We clean the shop up every year for the festival and try to make it as pretty and spiffy as possible. Tomorrow, my apprenticeship week begins. You'll see a little bit less of me on social media because I'm going to be teaching. And all of you who signed up as apprentices, Monday, 9 a.m., be there. And if you are a last minute, want to join the apprenticeship, you better contact Heidi Simpson at the shop right now. The apprenticeship is for graduates only. And you have to commit yourself to coming out 9 a.m., and there's a lecture, and then there is hands-on work. Tuesday, all hands-on work. Wednesday, another lecture, so forth and so on, hands-on work and lecture. This apprenticeship week, I will be teaching on the subject of bath crystals, what they are, how they got into hoodoo, how to make them, and on the subject of sachet powders, what they are, how they got into hoodoo, how to make them. And then the third apprenticeship week lecture is on jackballs, what they are, why they're called jackballs, what they look like, how to make them. And that's on Friday. So if you're a graduate of the course, you can take this. It is free. Now, I've advertised that enough, but I just want to let people know, Monday, 9 o'clock in the morning. So then we are in the last throes of planting conifers. The train layout is ongoing, upgoing, and happening. And so we have to have that all ready for the public on Saturday. The tents are going up on Thursday. We got a lot going on here. We got people buying food to prepare for the event. We've got, oh my gosh, everything but the ice is here, because if we got the ice too early, it would melt. So we're really ready for you all to show up and come out for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. Now, I'm going to turn this over to Conjurman Ollie, because he's going to be there. He's going to lead our opening service this time. So how are things down there? I know you're getting ready for your big moment, and also you're going to be teaching a workshop.
I am. So I've been very busy this week, all month, to be honest with you. But the last week is always crunch time. So we've been finalizing some of our preparations, and you don't want to miss out this workshop. We are going to be doing, for the opening ceremony, a Kimbanda Road opening work, which is not something that you see publicly in the United States very often. The House of Kimbanda is the first and, at the moment, one of the few authentic houses of Kimbanda in the United States, because this is an Afro-Brazilian tradition. We hear a lot about the Afro-Cuban and Afro-Caribbean, but this is Afro-Brazilian, so from South America. And this is a chance, whether you are interested in the religion or not, to see religion that is not often seen in the United States. So it's going to be very exciting. You also will walk away with a giveaway. Everyone will walk away with a personal talisman handcrafted by the members of the House of Kimbanda. They're known as Pachuas, also known as Makutos by some. And everyone gets one of those. So we've been busy making sure that we have enough for everyone, making sure that we keep up with the sign-ups and that we have enough of those to go around. In addition to that, I have been preparing for my workshop, which I'm teaching, Defending Against the Dark Arts. Or as I have amusingly called it, Hoodoo Ass Kickery, or Hoodoo Kung Fu. And as part of this, everyone will be crafting personal guardians that they get to take home. These guardians are a form of traditional old-school protection you don't really see too often in modern-day hoodoo, but still is around in a lot of rural societies and sometimes passed down from family member to family member. So everyone will be making that. I have a lot of things that I'm going to have to be bringing with me. So my suitcase is super heavy, and I'm doing all sorts of law keep away and safe travel on that suitcase to make sure that it gets safely to Forestville. But I am definitely looking forward to it. The workshops is something that I look forward to every year. It has become a tradition amongst me and my friend V. We always fly out there and make it a guy's weekend away from our girlfriends. So it's quite fun. And it's also a chance to hang out with the people I've come to love and who are close friends of mine, like yourself and Michelle and Nagashiva and Tammy and all of them. But also meet new people. You know, I can't emphasize this enough. One of the great things about the Hoodoo Heritage Festival is it gives an opportunity to meet up with people that you've only met online. or that you've talked to virtually. But now you get to see them face-to-face. I'm looking forward to meeting Candelo, so it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah, she's going to be there. So it's wonderful to put faces to names. And if you can hear the sound of my voice, I encourage you at the workshops, please come up to me. Please come up to all of us and introduce yourself and say hi. I'm not scary. I don't bite hard. But do come up. Do say hi. Do introduce yourself. I'm interested in meeting all of you guys, okay?
That's all I
have to say.
Well, I want to give a little shout out here to Candelo in the chat room. He said, tell me about it. I'm taking Lucero. So there's a man who's yeah, there's a man who's traveling heavy. All
yeah.
right. Good for you, Candelo. Well, this is going to be quite the event, and as I've told everybody every week coming up, leading up to it, we're introducing 5 new books, and we've had several of the authors of these books on the show. And this week we are very, very happy to have Michelle Jackson of BoneshellsAndCurios.com, who is the author of the book, guess what the title is, Bone Shells and Curios. And I want to say welcome to you, Michelle, and we are so proud and happy to have you on our radio show.
Well, thank you. I'm very proud and happy to be here.
Very excited to have you on.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to give a little lead-in to those people listening to the show, either now live or those who will listen in the archives after we're all past and gone. Those archives will still be there, and they go, she didn't introduce her. So, of course, I will introduce you. Michelle Jackson, I've known you for a long, long time. I first ran into Michelle back in the early days of the Internet. She had the first Tarot website that I ever found, Art of Tarot, and she was writing reviews of Tarot cards. And I was like, this lady is a lady after my own heart, and I was so grateful, Michelle, that you were doing it because it meant I didn't have to do it. Because I had thought, I've got, you know, I collect tarot cards, and I'm like, I'm going to have to write a review and show pictures of every one of them. Oh, my God, what a chore. But you were already doing it. I could just tell people, go find Michelle Jackson. She's done it. And that's how I first knew you, and I was so impressed with you, and also knew you through the fairy tradition. Now, this is a neo-pagan tradition started by Victor Anderson and his wife, Cora Anderson, and it was and is a prominent neo-pagan tradition, especially on the West Coast, although there are branches everywhere. But Victor and Cora lived in the Bay Area, and so I knew a lot of people in fairy, and there are people who were in fairy who were working in my shop as employees. And so they all told me, oh, my gosh, you know Michelle Jackson. Why, you know, she's somebody. And I found out, indeed, you were somebody. And so I've known you that way. Then you signed up to be a student in my class, and I was blown away because I thought, well, this grand lady has signed up to be my student.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I'm not buttering you up. I'm telling you the truth. I have always looked up to you. Of course, I am a little bit shorter than you. But Michelle came and stayed and did the apprenticeship that I was just talking about. She came and stayed and stayed with us and worked with me and learned a lot, I hope, about hands-on tradition of hoodoo. And
okay.
Yeah, and then she went on to do the unthinkable to me. Here's a lady famous for her work with tarot cards, and she got into bone reading, as so many people have, and something a leaf turned in her world, I guess, a page turned, and she is now writing about bone reading. And I know you probably still have a few of your old tarot cards around, but Michelle, I was so impressed when you just said, this is it. I have committed myself to casting bones in the African and African diasporic tradition. And my heart just beat because I had written a book on bone reading called Throwing the Bones, which was a worldwide survey. And I'd put a little bit of this and a little bit of that and sort of like try to introduce every system of bone reading I knew that existed. And you said, all right, here it is. I'm going to write a book on one system of bone reading, my contemporary Sangoma style. I call it Sangoma style. We just call it contemporary bone reading. And there was that little moment. My heart just beat so fast, and I thought, I wonder who's going to publish her book. And I said to you with a little tremble in my voice, who's going to publish your book, Michelle? And you said, I don't have a publisher. And I stood there, right outside the church, right? And I said, well, I'd like to publish it, Michelle. So one of the happiest days of my life, Michelle Jackson said I could publish her book. And so it is at the printer right now, and you can see the cover of it. It has its own web page, and we've got a list of the table of contents. It's a beautiful book, because what I did not mention is that Michelle Jackson is an artist as well.
Oh, yeah.
And it's illustrated from photos, but she's, like, drawn them in such a way that they're drawn. It's not just, like, dead photos. It's really beautiful, very clear, very simple to understand. So there, I've buttered you up on both sides of the toast, so it doesn't matter which way you fall now. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Well,
so glad to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you both so much. Wow, I'm blushing here, all these kind words. Thank you.
Well, now, tell us about the book. Tell us what got you to – tell the people, how did you decide bones were for you? What happened? What was the impetus to go into bone reading? And then who have you studied with, and how did you get to this book? Just give us the whole story.
Okay, well, I came to the Bay to teach a tarot class, and I stayed with friends of mine, Storm and Chaz. They own a metaphysical shop called the Mystic Dream, so I stayed with them, and I was going to teach a class on how to create your own tarot deck, which is one I've taught several times.
Mm-hmm.
And I was staying at their house, so that night, Chaz had a set of bones, and he said, you know, would you like a bone reading? I said, sure, you know, I'm game. And I didn't have any questions or anything particular, so I kind of made some question up, and he threw the bones for me. And it was a eerily accurate reading. It was so accurate, it even knew that my question was BS. I didn't really have a question. That's how accurate it was, you know. So I was like, wow, this is great. I was very intrigued. It was beautiful. You know, you have the different pieces and the bones, and it's very aesthetically pleasing. So I said, gee, I've got to try that. So we were going to your shop the next day, and I bought a set of bones right there, and you happened to be in the shop. And as you said, we were old friends, and you came out and stopped whatever you were doing and spent some time with me, and you showed me, you know, gave me a lot of good tips on how to do it, showed me different ways to toss them, different things you can toss them from, different things you can buy. You made some suggestions, so you gave me a lot of tips to get me, you know, started right there. And Chaz had given me that first reading and showed it to me. And then the next day after that, after I taught my class, he taught a class on bone reading.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of an impromptu thing, but it was very, very good. So I got some more tips. So coming out of the box, I just got expert help right away. So I went home with my bones, and I'm practicing. And at first, I'll be honest with you, I found it a little frustrating sometimes. I would do a throw, and it would be so dead on accurate, boom. But then I would do like three or four throws, like I would just look at them and say, I don't know, you know, what is it trying to tell me? But it was accurate enough for me to keep going. So I just kept going. And I started reading up on it, because that's what I do. Whenever I get into something, I get into it too deep, and I start buying books and reading everything I can. Sound familiar, doesn't it? And I started doing some research, and I found that there is a Sangoma in the next county up from me.
Wow.
Her name is Rebecca Day. And I called her and asked her if she taught bone reading, and she said, yes, she did. And I went to see her and took some lessons with her. And that really opened up some more doors for me. I got off to a good start, because I got good tips from you and good tips from Chaz. But she showed me some really good things, too. And she got me past this fear of just throwing them out there and opening myself to spirit. You know, I come from a tarot background where you have your spread, it's laid out a certain way, you know, and the cards fall in a certain place, and you're always thinking, you know, and you're looking for relationships and you're thinking. So I had a thinking mind to divination, but she got me to where I could just, you know, open up to spirit and not rely so much on the layout. And what I did at first, I had a cloth and I drew a crossroads in it, and I had it just like a tarot spread. I said, if it falls to the left side of the center, it's the past. If it's on the right side, it's the future. You know, the bottom is the subconscious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I got away from that, and just she got me past that. So she taught me that and a bunch of good tips. And from there, I just kept going. I started doing all the readings I could. I was trading readings with people. Whoever wanted to trade a reading with me, I would be happy to trade. I didn't care if you were new, professional, whatever. And I was very lucky. I got some professionals who actually were willing to trade with me as a beginner. And I got some people who didn't know as much as I did. But everyone I traded with, I learned something. You know, every single, because everyone does it a little bit different. No two bone sets are alike. And it's the same, you know, with the Sangoma in Africa. No two of them, everyone says it's individual. They have their own pieces. They have their own meaning. So I learned something good from every person that I studied with. And I just kept going from there. I rented a space at a New Age, a shamanic lady's place, and I was doing free reading. And if you want to sing and you signed up, I would meet you and do a reading for you. I did a lot of readings that way. I was, you know, getting as much experience as I could. I wanted to get a lot of experience before I, like, actually charge people money for something. So then,
well, you know, you brought up something. Excuse me, but I want to break in here. You brought up something that some people here need to hear. And Ali and I have discussed this before. I'm just going to say it.
Yes.
When you enter into a system of divination or any system of work, whether it's reading or root work, what you did is so right. It's so good. You traded readings with people, and you went in humble and appreciative of what others did. And as you said, from every reading, you learn something. I did the same, and I recommend the same. I tell the people, they say, I'm making mojo bags for sale. I say, how many mojo bags have you bought or traded for? Oh, I've never bought or traded for one. I just make them. I'm like, no,
yes,
sweetheart. You gotta go in with some respect for the tradition and learn what other people do. Even if you have to pay or if you can trade, you'll learn something from every one of them, even if what you learn is, I didn't like the way they did that. Right?
Exactly.
Am I right? You know, so you'll learn things like basic things like how to control the length of a reading. Bone reading is one of these open-ended systems. It doesn't have a built-in conclusion like a card reading. If you do three cards, you get to the third card, you're done. If you do 12 cards, you get to the 12th card, you're done. And what you were saying is so true. Past, present, future, all these different, you know, ahead of you, behind you, it's all kind of on a grid. Bone reading is much more open. One of the hardest things to do is to control the beginning, the middle, and the end of a bone reading, right? Am I right?
Yes.
I want to get a witness on that one. So,
amen on that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so what she just said, folks, what she just said is so true. When you're learning a system of work, and Sangoma bone reading, any kind of bone reading, is an open-ended system, generally speaking, with a few exceptions. I mean, if you do Shagai or Hakata, in which there are bone pieces, or bone dice or dice pieces, that will be a closed system. It has an answer, answer. But if you're doing bone reading in the sense that you might be doing tea leaf reading, same thing. You're just out there with an image and a bunch of images and a bunch of things throwing, you know, it's all flowing by you, and you have to go into a spiritual context to retrieve the information because you can't memorize it because it'll never have happened that way before and it'll never happen that way again. Am I right?
Exactly.
That's so true.
Exactly.
One of the things that gets really cemented when you approach a system or a tradition in the way that you both just mentioned. It's not just about reading some books and doing some stuff and then going, okay, I'm setting up shop. You have to go out and gain the experience. Because what comes from that, and Kat, you know, you've said this before, I've said this before, and Michelle has said this, this is absolutely important. People, whatever system you're going to do, get 100 readings before you do it. And learn from that. Because even not just from a spiritual perspective. You learn complexities to meanings, and you learn from that experience. One of the things I love in your tarot readings, Kat, if I can just brag about your readings, is when I got a reading from you a long time ago, you reminded me of the old school tarot readers. Because for you, a card wasn't just a set of meanings. It was a set of experiences. You would even associate songs with certain cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, because that comes from experience. That's not something you gain reading a book. That's not something you gain throwing the cards a couple times and going, oh, well, I got the system down. Let me start setting up shop. No, it comes from experience, from going and getting readings from other people. It's funny because I don't often see that in what I hate to use the term Western, but in the Western world. But you don't see that. When you see that in the West world, in other parts of the world, you don't see that. For example, for geomancy, I had to test in to become a geomancer. And in order to do that, you have to give 50 different readings. And it's over 50 different, it's known as the 50 cases. because there's 50 major cases in North Africa that can be handled. It's called finding a thief, determining a case, a law case, determining if a king is just. It's, like, it's 50 really esoteric things. But you don't get that same type of let me go out and gain experience. So I appreciate Michelle bringing that up, and appreciate you repeating that, because I think that's so important when it comes to a tradition.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Good. It's good number. I was shooting for 100 myself. I didn't quite get to 100, but, yeah, 100 was what I was shooting for, 100 readings.
Well, I did the same with the tarot. I said I'd get 100
yep.
readings, and I'd already set up as a professional before I got my 100th reading, but I persisted
yep.
until I got 100 readings because
yep.
I wanted to say to myself, I got 100 readings. And now I've stopped counting. I just get readings. And I have to say, your bone readings are beautiful. Folks, if you are one of those people who loves the art of reading,
oh,
in other
God,
words,
I love
if you love, you know, a reading, I'm going to say something here. A reading exists on many levels. There is
yes.
the, you know, getting the answers you need for your crisis or your question. And there is also the performance of the reading.
Mm-hmm.
And by performance, I mean, how does that person dress? How do they comport themselves? What does the table look like? What are their hand gestures like? When you get a reading from a very good reader, you are actually getting what amounts to as a dance performance on a table or on the dirt on the ground. You're getting a beautiful gestural performance as well as a gifted, intuitive, and wise reading. And
yeah.
I have to say again, and I'm not trying to butter you up, you got no more sides butterable here, but Michelle is one of the best in terms of presenting the reading as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about things like, you know, Japanese tea ceremonies. That's what I'm talking about. That precision of beauty of the reading. Now, some people are old and casual hippies like me, and, you know, you come and you see the old crunched up lady and she's dealing out her cards, you know, half blind. But Michelle has a beautiful presentation style. And
mm-hmm.
anyone who wants to learn readings, whether bone readings or any other readings, you owe it to yourself to get a few readings from a few people. And I recommend Michelle for the beauty of the presentation. It is as well as the accuracy. We're talking uncanny accuracy, but we're also talking an experience like going to a fine restaurant as opposed to going to a McDonald's. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's true. Yeah,
thanks.
It's beautiful. And now I still want to ask a little bit more about the book. How many drawings did you make for this book? It's heavily illustrated.
It was over 50. I think 56 or 7 drawings I remember uploading.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. 50 drawings. Okay, so this is – now, what you chose to do is to present the book. First of all, there's some theory. Then there's some – well, I guess what I call rule sets, ideas about this is how you do it, or at least this is how Michelle does it. But then a lot of the book is these sample readings, and this is where I really found myself fascinated. In the sample readings, you learn how the meaning of a bone varies based on what bones it's next to and what pattern those bones form. And it's not by the way you might say with card reading, you say when you have an 8 of spades next to a 9 of diamonds, that's a combo, and it has a combo meaning value of blah, 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 which is a good system for playing card reading. But this is different. Some things, as I was looking at the book and as I was, you know, typesetting it and working on it with Deacon Millett, I got to give him credit too. Deacon Millett edited on this book, did a beautiful job of editing it. But as I was reading it, some things remain the same. You use a very untraditional and yet very traditional pieces. Now, these are not just all bones. So the one that struck me so much was the garnet stretch bracelet. Now, that ain't. We're not going to talk prehistoric. They didn't have stretch bracelets back then.
But the
garnet stretch bracelet. And I thought, now, what does she mean by that? Why does she have a garnet stretch bracelet? And then she said, this is the action piece. And I'm like, well, what's it going to do? Is it going to flop around? No. This piece is garnet. Garnet my understanding, ruled by Mars, ruled by Aries. Action, first sign of zodiac. Get out there and do something. Garnet, that's what it's for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then inside where this bracelet falls, it'll fall into a little twisted pattern or it'll fall straight. But whatever is inside that garnet bracelet, that's what you have to do. And I went, man, that's brilliant. See, that's the kind of thing that makes a reader different than other readers. And you gave that, I would call that a million-dollar secret. You gave that in the book, and I'm talking about it now. But to see how it's used, folks, you need to see the drawings. She's done these drawings where she explains the different groupings, and it's so easy. Anyone can learn her system. It's beautiful. Well, that was my favorite part of the book because it was something new to me I had never seen. Do you know how valuable that is to a reader to come up with something like that that they've never seen before? It's phenomenal.
Because I would love to say I came up with it all on my own, but I was taught that by one of my teachers. So.
Well, it's fantastic. See, it's fantastic. It works. And then there's other little pieces. I mean, you know, bone reading isn't all bones, and there's other little pieces. Oh, you talk in there about what keeping pieces that break and changing their meanings. You talk about what to do with when you just get a big hodgepodge and how you kind of sift it and sort it out. How to use little natural tools to pry the piles of bones apart. And how many pieces do you use in a typical reading?
Okay, I have a little travel deck, and it's got like 70 pieces, but my main deck is like 90 pieces.
Oh, wow.
But a lot
90
of
pieces.
That's beautiful.
Right.
A lot of them are beautiful. So that's, if you take the people out and cut the people down, it's probably around 60 or 70 pieces.
Right. Now, you're going to be teaching a workshop on this, too. So it's just that you have a book coming out. Folks, if you come out to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, you not only get the book, you get
to learn from her.
You get to learn from Michelle Jackson, and there ain't going to be endless opportunities to do that. The book will go on and on and on, but Michelle has a travel schedule, and I know you're going to be teaching. You're going to be booked into different metaphysical shops all over as soon as this book hits the stands, because everyone is going to want it, and they're going to want you. But this is, I am so happy to be able to introduce this to the world at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. And I'm going to be right up there taking your class. I may have been one of the people who taught you a few tricks, but you taught me tricks.
You sure taught. No, you taught some too. You got me off to a good start right away. So I've been blessed to have good teachers all throughout. So
yeah,
I'm very lucky.
Well, I'm very happy to have been of service to you. But honestly, if anybody liked my book, Throwing the Bones, and it is a good book. I enjoyed writing it, and I think I did a good job. This book is different. This is not like people think, well, why do I need two books? This book is on one system. One system, Michelle Jackson system. And it empowers you to create your own individualized version of her system.
Well, you know,
and that's amazing.
The two go hand in hand really well together. So if anyone is interested in bone reading, what I would do is I would buy Kat's book and I would buy Michelle's book. Or come to the workshops, right? Because they both do something so great. With Kat's book, you get a survey into worldwide bone reading traditions. But it's much more than a survey. It's much more than a survey. It gets into the idea behind bone reading. You get the philosophy, right? You get the theology, if you will, so to speak, behind bone readings. And that's very important. Because to understand how divination works, you need to know, you got to be able to peek behind the curtain. That's the high priestess for you, if anyone's familiar with the tarot, right? That's what it is. You got to peek behind the curtain and understand what it means. And so you get to understand from Kat's book why bone reading in this particular format is the way it is, why you're using these pieces, what it means to even use bones in the first place. Why bones of all things? And what does, quote-unquote, a bone mean? It can mean a shell. It can mean so many things. And then with Michelle's book, you get into, now let's focus on a specific type of bone reading and how to do it. So I see these two books as perfect. And I wish there would be more pairings like this, where you get that background, and then you get a volume two almost that handles the practical. Because that's what's always lacking in, I think, occult books and magical books. That balance is missing. And with both of these, right right on the money.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Ali. And I'm going to tell you that one of the reasons I had that little tremble in my voice was I'm just a natural-born entrepreneur, and I thought, if Michelle will let me publish her book, I can offer my book and her book and a bone set together, all three, for a discounted price.
Oh, I love your story.
And I saw that, like, flashing in front of my future, and I was like, this could work. And it will. So that will happen at some point. You know me. I just love to do, I love to make people happy, and that's a way to make people happy. Yeah. All righty. Well, we're going to do some readings, and that is going to include some bone readings. And as you all know, I often read bones on this show, but I'm going to hold back and not read bones because we're going to let Michelle do the bone reading here. And you're going to get a taste of it, but now remember, she usually reads 90 bones, okay? We're not going to read 90 bones in 3 minutes, I'll tell you that. Can't be done, okay. But she will give you a taste of it. So let's go to our first caller, and that's going to be brought in to us by Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now we're going to go ahead and go to the phones and take our first new client. And our first new client is calling in from area code 817. This is Ashlyn, and in the Lucky Mojo Forum, this is Obsidian Pizza. I love that name. Ashlyn, are you there, caller, from Dallas, Texas?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Well, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that this is your first time calling into the show and that you have not yet gone to any of the Rooters or Root Workers from AIR. And she writes, My father is jeopardizing my well-being and my business with his anger and condescending attitude. I need him to start respecting me and stop belittling my efforts with his hateful nature. Turning it back over to you.
All right, Ashlyn, I'm sorry to hear about this. I have a question for you. You don't have a question. So that's your situation. But if you have a question, let me know what it is, or we can just go right to giving you some root work advice. What is it that you have in mind?
Yeah, my question really is, you know, I'm new to hoodoo. I'm very interested in it and incredibly passionate about it. But my question would really be, is just seeking advice on what you guys think would be the best course of action to handle it. I don't want to do anything to hurt him. He is my dad. I love him. But I need to reclaim my own space and what's rightfully mine.
Right. And do you live with him, or what's the situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I currently live with him. So.
Okay. All right. Well, what I'm going to do is do a real quick three-card reading, and we're going to see what the situation looks like from the spiritual side, because there may be different social things going on, but we want to see what's happening spiritually. Okay? So what I'm going to do is a three-card cut. I'm going to use the Rider-Waite Tarot. Whoa. All righty. We got an answer, boy, and you're not going to like this answer. The first card is the Six of Swords, and this is a woman being rowed across a river by a man, and it tells me that in order to get what you need, you may need to leave home. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
She's being rowed across the river. Now, this woman has a child with her. That doesn't mean necessarily that you have a child.
That's my business.
Your business, exactly. I was going to say it can be the child of your ideas. It can be a pet. It means something like that. The woman carries with her in the boat six swords, and this means that some of your sorrows will stay with you because they are intrinsic to you. But once you get to the other side of the shore, really that boat with all the sorrows in it, the boat with all the stabbing tools, that goes back across the river and you're free. So that's card number one. Card number two is a difficult card. It's called the Knight of Swords. Now, this is a person who rushes and looks like, if you put these two cards next to each other like a little comic strip, it looks like this knight is rushing down to save the lady from this sad ferry boat ride. And he's like, oh, I can help, I can help. Watch out. Someone may offer you help who's not appropriate, or you may yourself rush into situations. Or the third possibility here is that there is ungrounded emotion. Now, you mentioned that your father himself had ungrounded emotion, but what is,
yeah,
this looks like is, do not take the offer of someone who may offer to help and not be adequate to the task. The third card is a good card, and this is the card that says eventually you will tame the old lion. This is a card called Strength, and it shows a woman patting a lion on the head, and the lion is licking her wrist, and she's kind of closing the lion's jaws, and we say that she shuts him up, and she controls him, and she rules him. There's a volcano in the background, but it's capped. No lava, no explosions. This lady learns how to tame the lion. So what I see here, quick three-card cut, you will have to leave the home and take your business with you. Do not take the first offer of help that is offered to you. Check it out, because someone may offer to help you who is unexperienced or a little off balance. Be careful.
Okay.
And then the third one is, in the end, you will reconcile with your father, and he will be an old toothless lion and will lick your hand. It'll be okay, but it'll be a while before that happens. Okay,
okay.
Let's turn this over to Michelle and see what she says.
Hi. I see pretty similar to what Chad said. I see that you have a strong backbone. I have you, and you're looking right at a vertebrae, so a strong backbone. Also see spiritual help. You need to ask for some kind of spiritual help. I don't know what your spirituality is, but I think you're going to need some spiritual help to keep that backbone strong, you know? I see some fear, so maybe, and that's natural, you know, if you're stepping out on your own and you've been living with your parents or your father, it's scary getting out there. But I also see that you're going to overcome that fear, and I see the long term for you, it's going to be a good thing for you to leave. I see a close friend of yours near. Do you have someone who's close to you who you've been confiding in about this?
Yeah, I just spoke to someone before I listened to the show, so.
Is it a good friend?
She is a good friend, but she doesn't live here anymore. She's in Philadelphia.
Ah, okay. Well, maybe she's going to provide you some moral support, because I see a good friend nearby you, you know, helping to support you. I think you're going to need to ask for spiritual help. Like I said, I don't know what your spiritual tradition is. If I were you, I would go to my ancestors, you know, and ask my ancestors for help.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever God you believe in. Ask for spiritual help, but you have the strength to do this. This backs up what Kat was saying. You have the backbone. You just need a little help. You know, overcome that fear. I think some kind of root work could help you, some kind of ritual. I have a ritual piece here, and the elephant that knocks down obstacles is sitting right on top of the ritual piece. So some kind of ritual work will definitely help you with this. Then ahead of you, I see blessings. And then my garnet bracelets that Kat was talking about that says what to do. There's no piece in it, but it's in that figure eight. And when I see that figure eight, that to me, that's a blessing. I mean, a big blessing way. So you've got spiritual help. You need to ask your ancestors for that help. You know, seek them out. Let them know that, you know, you want that help, and thank them for it when they give it to you, and you know, show them gratitude for it. But I think this is going to work out for you. Just overcome that fear. Do a little work with your friends, and you can do this. Okay.
All right. Well, let's turn it over to Ali. So I mentioned that she should not take random help. Michelle said she should not be so much acting on her own as receiving blessings and having someone help her, but she should be careful who it is, but it should be someone good. She needs to do spiritual work. So, Ali, what would you say would be the best to prepare her to raise up on her own backbone and tame the old lion?
You know, one of the great things about both of those readings is they really highlight the need for action, and they've given me a great idea in terms of root work. What I would recommend is doing some crossroads work. What I want you to do is I want you to write down the thing you're looking for, the objective you want, whether it's I need to move out, I need my business to do whatever it is, right? Write it down on a on a paper. Now, you want to, I suggest using a sturdy piece of paper if you can.
I have some parchment from you guys, so.
Okay, so take that with three coins, and you're going to go to the crossroads, and you're going to go to the crossroads, and you're going to ask the spirit of the road, or the spirit of the crossroads, to open all ways for you, to lead you step by step to achieving your goal. And you're going to put down the three coins and gather some of that crossroads dirt. Now, if you have a dirt crossroads, you can do it right at the center. If this is a paved crossroads, you can get the dirt from the various corners. But you gather the dirt, and what you're going to do is you're going to mix it with some attraction powder. You're going to mix it with some crown of success powder. And just a little bit. And what you're going to do is you're going to fold that up, okay? You're going to fold that up and place it over an overturned saucer or cup. And on top of that, you're going to take a white candle, and you're going to carve it with your desire and anoint it with crown of success and attraction oil. And you're going to set that right on top of that saucer. And then in the four corners around it, making a miniature crossroads, you're going to put orange candles dressed with road opener. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you're going to light these candles, and you're going to pray over them with all your heart, and you're going to let the candles burn down. When they've burned down, you're going to take that packet, and you're going to put it in your shoe so that every step you take is leading you to where you need to be. Okay? So this plays on the idea of the Six of Swords, right, where you're actually traveling. So we want you to, every step you take, being one step further to your success, one step further attracting the thing that you want. This type of work that I've done in the past for clients and I've had clients do seems to work in a very interesting fashion. What will happen is things will fall in their lap, opportunities will open up for them, and random events happen, right? And occurrences happen, things kind of click in place that allow them to take action. But the key is that you're going to have to take action. So there's going to be opportunities that are brought to you from this work, right? So you're going to, when you put that packet in your shoe, you're going to walk around and someone's going to say, oh, you know, have you heard so-and-so's looking for a roommate or something along those lines, right? And you have to choose whether you want to take that opportunity or not. The key is that this will open the doors. You're still going to have to take the step forward. But I sense that if you do this and you do this properly with an open and sincere heart, you can get the ball rolling on what you need to do, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Good luck to you. Now, you also had mentioned in your note that you're going to be having a consultation with Valentina Burton, who is a member of AIR, and let her know what you learned on this show. Copy it down and bring it to her, okay, and say, this is what I was told to do, and she'll help you get what you need and help you do it, okay?
Okay.
All righty. Good luck to you, hon.
Thank you.
All righty. Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, it's Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour is the first show of its type ever to be made available to the public, and it remains the longest-running folk magic radio show to date. Listen by telephone or listen to the archive podcast on iTunes. Either way, you're going to love it. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then dial 818-394-8535 during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you're available to be on the air. And if your call is chosen, you'll get a free reading and rootwork consultation with your host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com. And this week's special guest, Michelle Jackson of BoneshellsAndCurios.com in San Diego, California. Tune in every week at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. Now we're going to go ahead and go back to our callers, and our next caller client is calling in from area code 209. This is Mama Tori. Mama Tori, are you there, caller?
Hi, I'm here.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to go ahead and let our host know that you're a loyal listener, that you called in once before, and thank you so much that you said you had an amazing reading. Wonderful. And that update, as far as I can see, was here this past April, okay, recently, okay, and your history with our readers, that you're friends with Mama Cat on, or Miss Cat on Facebook, and did some research and this and that, and you've had a private reading with Conjugamentally before, and you indicated no on that, okay? And she writes, husband left her 3 years of marriage, got a reading and some homework on 4/13/2014. I've been doing a lot of cleansing work in the house and myself, and my new friend interest seems to be being affected by this. Not sure if this is the case. Please clarify. I'm sorry. You might have to reclarify that, but I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Cat and let Ms. Cat ask you this question, okay? Thank you.
All right. So you have a new friend interest. This is a romantic friend interest?
It's turned into it. Professor Porterfield gave me a scripture and to pray on, and I lit the candle that he told me to. And the next day, it was amazing. Like, the closure, everything happened in one day.
Wow.
Everything. I mean,
great.
It was amazing. I mean, you told me that I had to be a lioness and I had to protect my cubs. And
mm-hmm.
everything happened in one day. And, you know, this person has been around for a while, but he's just gotten more involved in our lives. And I've been doing a lot of cleansing work. I've been doing some work on him, but I haven't really, I just don't, I'm new, and I don't want to mess up.
Okay. All right. I got it. Well, thank you for that testimonial, and we'll pass that along to Professor Porterfield. I'm so glad that, I mean, that is, when it works like that, we love to hear about it, because people go, how could that be? It's just a coincidence. Well, when it happens over and over, folks, it ain't no coincidence, or it's a series of managed coincidences, but we can call magic a series of managed coincidences. Great. Okay. Now, let's turn you over to Conjurman Ali. He's going to do the reading. The question seems to be, should she work on her new friend interest since she's got the rest of everything going on? Okay?
Just to clarify, that's your question. You're curious to find out what's going on with this new friend interest, right?
Correct. Because as soon as I started the cleansing, everything was weird.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I'm very happy to hear that. Now, I've looked into my carnelian, and a few images have appeared that I'm going to relate to you and explain what they mean in this situation. First and foremost, we have a man and a woman. They're out in the park, and there's laughter around them, children playing, the sun is shining. This is a confirmation that, yeah, what you did has chased some storm clouds away, and the sun is shining now, and things are looking good. The prescription that was given to you was great, and things are moving in a good direction. But the storm clouds aren't entirely gone, and it looks like they may come back in a little bit, and so you should be aware that there will be some time, because I see the man walking away. I see that this is likely going to be a break in communication for a period of time, not anything serious, but it may be that, for example, he seems a little bit more withdrawn. Don't take that as oh, it's doomed or what's going on. One of the things I've often noticed of clients is that if a person doesn't text them, you know, they text every single day and then one day they miss a text, they freak out. Don't do that, okay? What I'm saying, mm-hmm. yeah, this is just the weather, that some days sun will be shining, some day things will not be, but that, yeah, you can look forward to a little bit of withdrawal for him in the next few weeks. But the next image that I see here is you standing before candle flames, almost like a menorah, and you are standing before these candles, and you have the gentleman back, and you guys are lighting the candles together. This tells me that with a little bit of work with prayer and with candlelight specifically, you can ensure that even during those rough patches, even during those times where the clouds come back, that you two survive and you two are once more together. I do see a good sign, that the last sign, the last augury that I get is that image of you before the candles, and that's a very beautiful image, and it does show everyone together. The image is very warm and very beautiful and affectionate. So I do see very good and positive things ahead for you, and a green light that, yeah, you should begin doing a little bit of work on this person just so you can mitigate some of the communication disruptions that are ahead of you, okay?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to turn this over to my colleagues and see what they see.
All right. So I'm going to do a old three-card cut and see what I see as far as what is happening with the new friend interest and how far you should push, because I think that's part of the question here. Should you push with magic to try to get this thing happening faster, or are you just going to let it develop naturally and watch and wait? You know, you don't want some sort of a rebound situation that's going to mess you up. Okay. So the first card I have is called the Queen of Pentacles. Now, this is a lady on a throne outdoors in nature. She has red roses over her head. Red roses stand for passion, sex, and love. And she is a woman who loves her love and her pleasure. And she's also a woman who has some ability to see the future herself, especially through natural means. In other words, crystal balls or things like she holds in her lap. She loves security, too. We often say she holds a big coin. She's sometimes called the Queen of Coins. So what I see here is that you are a grown woman. The breakup of your marriage has been disastrous on a number of levels, but you're certainly coming out of it okay. You're going to be okay. You are going to make your own way. Worry about the future is natural. You might want to continue to get readings because this lady is doing readings here. But truly, the most important thing for you is to not feel that you're wasting your life with no love. In other words, if this new friend interest doesn't turn out to be a sexual partner, I would move on until I found a sexual partner, with this card telling me that you're a lady who really wants to have a full life. You're not going to go into a, you know, lie down on a fainting couch for the next 5 years. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. You love life too much to do that. The next card is the Three of Coins. This shows three people building a church. And that's an interesting card in this context because it says to me that even if you don't get a reward, in this case there is no coins, no payment to the stonemason, he's just building a church for the beauty and the help of all. Even if you don't get every reward from that relationship, do it because it is uplifting. It is helpful. It is good for you to be available as a mature lady. In other words, do your thing, have fun. And it also will be good for others, and I would guess him. But do not expect a reward. Do it, you know, go into the situation just out of kindness, love, and beauty. The third card is a card that says that you do have the right and the wherewithal to perform some magic in the situation. It is the only card in the deck called the Magician. And that says to me that you probably should use a little magic on the man. Now, what that magic might be can be candles, it can be incense, it can be baths or teas, and it can be talismans or mojo bags. And the reason I say that is that he has four elements on his table, earth, air, fire, and water. So basically, you have the ability to do any kind of magic you want to on him. But this is not in particular binding magic. It's not cruel, you know, tie you down and make you do what I want type of magic. He has a snake for a belt, and that does stand for sexual magic. And he also, like the Queen of Pentacles, has red roses over his head. So again, sexuality is important, and he protects a garden with roses and little white lilies. The white lilies stand for the children. They stand for innocence and for the higher spiritual forms of love. But really, this person, you could stand to do a little work on him, and really almost anything you do is going to have some sort of an effect. He seems to be susceptible to your magic. Now, what you should do, I'm going to turn this over to Michelle Jackson, and she's going to give you some root work tips, what you can do to draw in a lover, but do it in such a way that you're not binding him or harming him, okay?
Okay. Let me ask you this. Do you want this man?
Yes, we already gotten intimate. And
okay.
There you go.
It was very
scary. Yeah, with all those red roses, she had to have gotten intimate.
I did. And it's so funny that you kept saying that because that's his favorite flower. And
really?
Like, yeah. And another thing, well, I'll let Ms. Jackson do it, but I have to throw something in there so you guys can maybe help me understand what this means. Mm-hmm. But I'll go ahead and let Ms. Jackson go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to suggest, lately I've been liking jar work, and I was going to suggest you make a jar for him.
Okay.
So what you do is you get a jar. You can get them like from the dollar store, $2, $4. You want to get a jar that has a nice metal top on it. Okay. And into that jar, you're going to put some herbs. The first thing I want you to do, I want you to write a petition paper of what you want. What you want from the relationship, what you want from him. Write out a petition paper of what you want. I want you to turn it around and cross it with your name 7 times. I want you to anoint the 4 corners in the center with an oil, attraction oil or come to me oil or love me oil, whichever oil you feel is appropriate for where you want the relationship to go. Fold it towards you. And I want you to put it in a jar. I want you to put some Queen Elizabeth root for female power. Put that in the jar. Cupid berries. Love berries. Put some of those in the jar. And some balm of Gilead. And balm of Gilead, I think, is good for peace and keeps the relationship nice and smooth. And, you know, you're just coming off a traumatic thing, so you don't want a lot of upheaval and disruption. So some balm of Gilead, put that in there. Okay. Then I want you to take that jar, close it up. I want you to shake it. And while you shake it, I want you to say what you want, whatever you write in your petition paper. Say it as you shake that jar. Then you can sit it down on your altar and light a red candle over it. Okay, you can anoint the candle first with some oil, whatever oil you use on your petition paper, you know, anoint your candle with that oil and let it burn in the jar. Okay, then every morning when you get up, let the candles burn out, every morning when you get up, shake that jar again, reinforcing what you want. Say it out loud. This is what I want. This is how I want things to be. This is what I want from this man. This is how I want our relationship to be. And then just sit it on your altar. Or you can hide it away if you're worried about him finding it. And you can work that jar for as long as you need to as the relationship strengthens or gets stronger or runs its course or whatever. You can go ahead and, you know, when you feel you no longer need that jar and you've got a good hold on him and the relationship's where you want to be, you can take the jar, you can bury it in your backyard so that it kind of keeps him there and keeps him close to home. And see how that works. I like to use the jar spell because they give you an action. It's not just you're passively watching your candle burn. You're actually shaking that jar. Once a week, you light a new candle on it, you know, to kind of give it a little more fire again and see how that works for you.
Okay, great. I will do it.
Okay.
The thing I was going to tell you is ever since I started doing my cleansing, there's been a hot, and he stayed with me. It was really weird how everything happened with him. He ended up coming to stay with me for a couple of weeks. And there, ever since he came and I started doing the cleansing work, there's a hummingbird outside my window that sits here all the time. And I'm curious about that. You guys, any of you guys saw that or felt that or know who that is?
Yeah, hummingbirds have a long history of use in Native American magic, especially on the West Coast, where hummingbirds are very, very common.
Yep.
Among the Pomo Indian, for instance, the creator god, the god who created the entire universe, is a hummingbird, a little tiny bird. Among the Mexicans of the West Coast, they refer to the hummingbird as the divine hummingbird. And in many Native beliefs, the hummingbird is a spiritual god figure. Now, how did that enter hoodoo? Well, it entered hoodoo along the California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas border with Mexico, and also, you know, people intermarry and they learn things from one another. And so the hummingbird spell, we have it from Spanish. It calls on the power of the divine hummingbird to the way that the hummingbird sucks nectar out of the rose. Chuparosa means sucking the roses. That's what they call a hummingbird down in Mexico. That hummingbird is for honesty and truthfulness in a relationship. And when you see a hummingbird in this context, it means love. The hummingbird, especially if it's a ruby-throated hummingbird, it's a little red where its little beating heart is there. Or the Anna's hummingbird is another one. So they always stand for love. They stand for fertility. Among the Pomo Indians, the little boys dress up with as hummingbirds, and they have a little flute, and they sing and dance around the young women. The way the hummingbird will go around the flowers, and the women sway back and forth like little flowers. And the idea is that the little hummingbird fertilizes the little flowers. So the hummingbird is a symbol of sexuality, of love, of defense, because hummingbirds are very, very territorial. People will say, wow, that hummingbird buzz-bombed me, and they don't know why a little bird like that would just dive-bomb them. It's because hummingbirds are extremely territorial, and they are always a symbol of love, sexuality, fertility, and truthfulness and honesty in a relationship. So there you go.
Thank you very much. I'll see you guys next weekend.
Oh, next hopefully. Weekend. You're going to be there next
yes.
weekend. Yay.
I'm praying for it, but I'll see you guys. I will. I'll make it up.
All right.
Be sure to come by and say hi.
Yeah,
I sure will.
All righty.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're going to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. To be selected to be on the air, sign up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. Then calling during the show and press the number 1 to let the host know that you'd like to be on the show. And if your call is selected, you'll get a free consultation with the best workers in the field. Tune in at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Time each and every Sunday here with us on Blog Talk Radio. Now we're going to go ahead and go back to the phones and take our next client. And our next client is calling in from area code 314. Blog Talk Radio caller name is Beyond the Sun Astrology. And this is also Kichawi.
Yes.
Kichawi, are you there,
Kichawi.
Caller?
Kichawi.
Kichawi.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. All right, I'm going to go ahead and read the situation and synopsis for our hosts and let them know that this is your first time calling in. And she writes, trying to buy a house and have done some root work on my own. I live in my daughter's two-family flat, but I can't get any privacy or peace. We're supposed to be living separately, but she insists upon being in part of the flat consistently. The astrological energy is present for a move, but the situation is not moving forward. I'd like a bone reading on the circumstance to see if I'm moving in the right direction with my proposed plans. Turning it back over to you.
Well, that was good because you're going to get a bone reading. Take it away, Michelle Jackson.
Okay, let me know how to see what I get here. Let me try and attend your question. You want to know if this now is a good time to move?
Yes, I'm trying to figure out if the plans that I have to move are the direction that I need to be moving in.
Okay, let's see what we get. Okay. Wow. Okay. Let's see. You said some disruption and some. I see. You're right. It's some disruption and maybe a lot more excitement than you would like to have in your life. A lot
yes.
of emotion on around you right now. Is creating a problem for you. But I also see in front of you, not too far in front of you here, is the vertebrae. So you're a strong woman, and you can put up with it. You have some health issues of some type?
Yes.
Okay. I've
recently had an ablation to my thyroid.
Yeah, I see.
And I'm still working that out.
Yeah, I can see the health issues are a factor for you right now, a big factor for you as far as what you're planning to do. And so you're going to have to keep that in mind and take care of yourself and do what's best for your health, number one, because without the health, nothing else matters. So make sure you're staying with your doctors and have the energy to make this move you need to make. I see you have good spiritual health. Are you a spiritual person?
Yes, I'm an astrologist, and not that, you know, sun sign stuff. I mean a real astrologist.
Right. Well, that's going to be helpful to you, if you can do your own charts as far as projecting charts out. Some kind of mm-hmm. spiritual help is going to be needed here in this situation, so you're going to have to rely on some kind of spiritual help. Let's see what else I see here. I don't know what your finances are. I don't see money as being the big problem here, so you have the funds to move and everything?
Yes.
Okay, so that's not the problem here. I think you're heading the right thing. I think you need to rely on spiritual health, do your charts, do what you need to do, take care of your health, be very careful of your health, and make sure you do have your health is in a place where you can do this on your own and move out on your own. But I see you as a strong, powerful woman. I've seen you carry many burdens in your life before. I see you're close
yes.
to your... Yes, and I see you have a lot of spiritual help. I see you're close to your spirits and you listen to your spirit. And I see you have a good spiritual connection. Once again, I got that figure eight in my bracelet. This is twice in one day, and I hardly ever, I can't remember ever happening before. I see this is a new beginning for you, a fresh start for you, and I think other things are going to open up in your life as a result of doing this. The thing I want to warn you about, though, I have a little warning bell here, and it's next to the lion's bone. Don't let your pride and your, what's the word I want? Don't let your pride and your wanting to get out so bad overtake common sense. So if you know
okay.
your health is out right now and things are not looking good for you right now astrologically, if that's what you rely on spiritually, don't forge ahead anyway. Be cautious. Take your time. But I do see this is a great time for you to have a new beginning. Overall reading, the number I got is the number one, and number one is new beginnings for me. And I think this is a good time for you, and your plan is probably good. Okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see what Conjurman Ali says.
Well, I think that was a wonderful reading. What I've done is a geomancy reading, which is the distant cousin of bone reading and the cousin of astrology, as it so happens,
all right.
because we rely mm-hmm. on astrology for geomancy. And I agree, health definitely comes up. In the sixth house, we have Rubius. Rubius does indicate an upturning of issues with your health, but it also passes into the second house, which tells me that while your money may be good now, health issues may eventually start impacting your money, so be aware of that. That also is the projection of points, the hidden factor that's relying here, so this is what would sneak up on you, in other words, right? So things may look good financially right now, but you've got to watch the health stuff, because there may be some unexpected expenditures in regards to health that may in turn impact your finances. So be very careful for that. The next image the next two figures that I want to look at here are in the third house and the fourth house. In geomancy, the third and fourth is what we look to in regards to moving. The third generally has the surrounding environment, and the fourth is the end of the move itself. The third house has populous. Populous indicates that your living arrangements, the crowding, that is all a bit of a pain. And it also is taking a little bit away from the situation itself, because it is a passive figure. It is the moon waning versus the moon waxing. So your current living situation and the way things are not going to improve. Right? They're only going to get more and more difficult. So that's something you need to be aware of. And when Michelle said that brilliant thing of don't let your pride get in the way, that's very important. As difficult as your situation is and as strong as you may be, this is a crowded area to be in, and it's only going to get a little bit worse. You might have some intrusions of privacy. Don't lose your cool, okay? Don't get sucked into that type of chaotic mindset and energy, or let that rush you. You want to move slowly and you want to move patiently. The next
okay.
figure ultimately tells us that, yes, things do look good as long as you may mind these things, and that is Fortuna Maior in the fourth house. This tells me that, yeah, ultimately that you will be able to move. Rely on some spiritual advice. Rely on allies if you can call upon them. Specifically, female allies will be very strong for you. Anyone who, like yourself, did you say you were a Leo?
No, I'm a Sagittarius sun sign.
You're a Sagittarius. Okay. Anyone who's a Leo is who's going to be a great help for you. Okay? So call upon any type of Leos that will, if your real estate agent, for example, is a Leo, perfect. But be aware that the crowding is going to get a little bit of a problem, that this is a situation that you have to remain a bit passive, and you can't just fight with your flatmate, right? You can't just let that get to you. Be aware of that. Be aware that your health issue, you need to stay on top of that, because it will start to impact your money with a sudden and unexpected cost, especially around summertime. So stay on top of that to avoid that. And if you do that, things look good for you in the future in regards to moving, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All righty. So I'm going to give you some root work advice now. And you have plans to move. And so do you have a place picked out?
No. I just started the loan process.
The loan process. Okay. So let's start with some good work for a loan. And I'm also going to throw in just as a little extra, just a quickie on how to find the right place. All right. Do you know what city you want to live in?
Yes.
All right. I want you to get a map of the area. You can print it out from the internet or go down a gas station and buy a map and cut it out. And you want to figure out just the territory. You don't need the whole map of the whole state, just the territory you want to live in. More detail, the better. If you have a few block area picked out, then just that's all you need. If you have a whole city, then put the whole city up. What you're going to do is get that. That's a map of where you want to have your home. And you're going to, in the four corners of that map, just make it a square or rectangle, whatever it is, in the four corners, I want you to put down some coins, little piles of coins. I want you to put down a penny, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, 50-cent piece, a dollar coin. Just put them down. If you want to have a $2 bill underneath it, hold them all down with it. That is your money. That is to say, I have money to live in this territory on the four corners. Okay? You can dress that money with house blessing oil. Okay? Now, in the middle of that, you're going to put a sugar jar, and you're going to put in that sugar jar the names of the loan company, their logo from the internet, if you can get that picture, the name of business card of any particular loan officer or bank loan officer or whoever it's going to be. I'm going to put that in the sugar jar. You can write them down by hand, or you can cut them out again, put them in. And in with that, you're going to put some five-finger grass. And you're just going to mix it into the sugar. Not too much, because you're actually later going to cook with that sugar. Now, five-finger grass is edible, and you can drink it in tea, so don't worry. I'm not going to poison you in any way. Just put in some five-finger grass into your sugar and stir it up. That's to get favors granted to you in a loan, okay? And
okay.
Now you put in the names of these people, and you put more sugar, and each time you put in the name of a person or the name of a company, you lick your finger, touch it to the sugar, touch it to your mouth, and lick it up. Mm-hmm. As sugar is sweet to me, so will the loan officer from the such-and-such savings corporation, blah, 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 be nice to me and favor me and give me my loan that I may live in this territory, right? And touch your four corners. Touch them. Just put your hand away. That I may live in this territory, bang, 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 four corners. Then you put the next person's name in. As honey is, or sugar is sweet to me, so will loan officer Jones be sweet to me and favor my case and get me that loan so that I may live in this territory, one, two, three, four, hit them. And then after you get them all in the sugar jar, one after another, you're going to put the lid on that sugar jar, and it should be a metal lid. And then you can light a candle on it. It can be a tea light, or it can be a regular light. In this particular instance, a tea light might be nice because you don't want wax falling all over your map. So you're just going to light a little light, and you're going to say, now, let my light shine above the territory that is mine. Right? Let my light shine all around that I may find the place I want. And as you do this, just move your hand like in a circle over the, you know, I sometimes even just close my eyes and I just run my hand in a circle around that candle and just warm my hand as it goes past the candle, right? And I say, this is the territory I control. This is where my house will manifest. This is where it will be. It will come to me. And I spiral in till I get to that jar, warm my hand over that and say, now, I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And you do that every night, okay?
Okay.
Light a little candle. Now, that is to get them to give you the loan, but also to get you to find the right place in that territory that you want it to be. When you have found the place, take all that money, all those coins and bills, each little pile, you have four piles now, you're going to bury them at the four corners of that property, either on the four corners of the edges of the property or the four corners around the house. If it's an apartment building and you can't get around the four corners of the property, bury it around the four corners of the block. But bury those coins and that bill, if you do use a bill, some people just use coins, bury them to put coins around them. And this is my place. This is where I will be. Okay?
Okay.
All righty.
Well, thank
Good luck
you
to you.
So much.
Good luck to you, and I hope for all the best. I think this will work for you. Okay?
All right,
and good luck with
that
your health too.
I didn't
want to touch on that too much because Michelle brought it up and she was right on target. But I'm just going to say I heard it in your voice too. Do watch for your health. It's very important. Don't let your health stand in the way of getting where you want to be. Okay? But take care. Follow your doctor's advice. All right. Well, we're going to turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and we're going to very briefly have a little announcement, and then we're going to have our giveaway and our free spell.
Well, yes, ma'am, Miss Kat, and y'all, the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour is hosted each week by Conjamena Lee and Miss Catherine Ironwood. And I'm going to go ahead and turn this back over to y'all. We've got a great giveaway and certainly some wonderful things from Miss Michelle Jackson of BoneshellsAndCurios.com in San Diego, California. So turning it back over to y'all.
All righty. So what we're going to do for our free spell is a little different than a spell. Michelle is going to teach us how to consecrate a bone set. You can buy a bone set, but how do you consecrate it for use so that it will be your spiritual ally, all those bones, all those little pieces? So tell us how, Michelle.
Okay. Well, I'm doing this based on the assumption that you have an ancestor altar. If you don't have an ancestor altar of some type, you need to get that set up first, because this is an ancestor and spirit-based system, and without that, you're not, in my opinion, you're not going to get very far with it. So you have your ancestor altar ready. I'm assuming you have that. And what I do when I get a new set of bones, I've done two sets now. First thing I do is I rinse them off with some water, and then I let them dry. Then I wipe them down with some Florida water, clean them again. And that's because I feel like you don't know what the bones have been. You don't know, you know, what process they were it came by. I just like to try to clean them off. Now, let me go ahead and say to that, there are some people who don't like to clean them, who want the energy on them. And that's okay, too, but that's not how I do it. So first I wipe them down with some water, then some Florida water, and send them and let them dry. Once they dry it out, I make some incense. And I have a recipe in my book, but I'm going to give you all a different recipe this time if you have an extra recipe. So I just make an incense. What you can do is you can buy the regular self-burning incense. You get it from Lucky Mojo or from wherever. Or you can just put this on charcoal yourself. And this recipe I'm going to give you this time is sandalwood. I like sandalwood because it's soothing. You don't know what the process the animal went through or whatever, where they came from. So it's nice and soothing. And some cinnamon, a pinch of cinnamon. It's purifying, and a pinch of tobacco. You can use snuff or red thing or whatever tobacco you want, some kind of tobacco, because spirits like tobacco. It's proven over and over and over. Spirits love tobacco. But I like Althea, because Althea is attractive to spirits. So that's an incense you can make. You can put it with some self-burning, or you can just burn it directly on the charcoal yourself. And then I run each piece through the smoke, and if I have a cloth I'm going to read on, I run my cloth through the smoke and my container through the smoke and let it all smoke. Once I've got them all cleaned and now they're all nice and smoked, at this point I sit down with each piece, I hold it in, and I see what impressions I get of it. You know, is it tell me what it means, or does it tell me it's going to work for me? You know, I ask it, will you work with me? Do you want to work? If I don't get any feeling or it's a good feeling, great, go to the box. If I get some kind of bad feeling, I put it aside. I don't use that piece. Once I've done that with all of them, I show them to my ancestors. This sounds kind of crazy. I don't work with ancestors. But I actually hold the piece up in front of my ancestor altar and say, okay, this is a fishbone and it means this. This is a lion bone and it means that. Or this is a bell and it means it's a warning. Whatever. Once I've done that, I clean it. Them on my ancestor's altar. You can light a candle if you want to give them some light for the first time. Whatever I'm not using them, I put them on my ancestor's altar. that's pretty much my whole process right there. In between readings, I always put a little toy cologne on my fingers and run them through to kind of cool them down and remove the energy from each reading, from the person's reading before. And once in a while, whenever I feel the need to clean them again, I'll run them through the smoke again. So that's my whole consecration process. Please feel free to use it or adapt it to your own, whatever way you fit, whatever feels good for you. Okay? Okay.
That's beautiful. Your phone was
that's
cutting
beautiful.
Out a little bit, and I was trying to type to keep up with you, so I'm just going to just say that when at the very end, after you had talked with the ancestors about the meaning of each bone, you said you light a candle, and then I missed what you said right after that.
Okay, I light a candle, and then I sit them on my altar when I'm not using them. That's their home.
Oh, I see. Okay,
right. In between each reading, because I do lots more readings now than I used to, in between each reading, I put a little Hoyt's cologne, or you could use Florida water, whatever kind of scented water, canangle water. I put some of that on my fingers, and I run it through the bones in between each reading to kind of cool them down and kind of get the energy from the previous person off, you know, and it just takes a second. It's not a big deal cleaning, and I do that after every reading. And then every now and then, whenever I feel like it, I get, you know, I feel that they need to be cleaned, I'll run them through the smoke, the whole smoke process again. So that's pretty much how I do it.
Wow.
Please feel
free
to adapt it or use it to your own, you know, whatever.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. That's intense. And I'll bet with that Hoyt's cologne, you keep your bones smelling real nice, too.
Oh, not a lot. It's a little bit on your fingertips. But, yeah, they do smell good. It does keep them smelling fresh and keep them cool. And
yeah, and cools them down. That's good. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for that. And this can be used for anybody consecrating anything, really. But it's particularly useful with consecrating bones because you are introducing them to your ancestors at an ancestor altar. And as you said at the outset, you need an ancestor altar because the bone work, as in the way you do it and the way many people do it, is involved with ancestral energies because bones are the bones of the dead, and even if these are not your own ancestral dead, they are the ancestors of someone, some animal, someone who's alive, and so we always work with ancestors when we work with bones. All right, we've got to give away tickets, and we're running short here, so I don't know, we're supposed to pick numbers, but what numbers are we supposed to pick? I was told we would have Conjurman Ollie pick a number, and I was told that we would have Michelle Jackson pick a number. So I need to know what
That's
my
right.
top number
Two numbers
is.
Between 1 and 59.
1
okay,
and 59.
I will pick 1 and 59. I'll pick my second favorite number, 9.
9,
okay.
says Ollie. And what do you pick, Michelle?
I'll pick 37.
37. Our numbers are 9 and 37. Those are our winners. Okay, 9 and 37. Deacon Millett is going to announce who the winners are, I hope.
Chelsea
Iovino. Come on Iovino. Down.
Yay.
There you go. Bingo.
Bingo. And yay for Chelsea Iovino. And number 37 is? Waiting for number 2. Not
he
getting
probably.
Number 2.
He's probably figuring it out. And the
Nathan Kamer, 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 K-A-M-E-R, Nathan Kamer. Let's just call him Kamer.
Congrats.
All righty, congratulations. Chelsea and Nathan, you are the winners. Stop on by Deacon Millett's Facebook site, and he will get you your prizes. Yay. Okay. That
thank
was
you.
Wonderful. And thank you again to our anonymous donor. Thank you, Deacon Millett of Hoodoo Psychics. All right. All right, we're going to let Ms. Tammy Lee say about 3 words, and then we're going to be near the end of the show.
Lord have mercy. Thank you, Ms. Kat, condimentally, and thank you so much, Michelle Jackson of BoneChillsAndCurios.com in San Diego, California, for joining us this week. Next week, y'all, we will have an exceptional rebroadcast of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, as we'll be seeing many of you at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival in Forestville, California. Once again, we've come to the end of the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And you can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Curio Company at Forestville, rather at forum.luckymojo.com and conjugamentally at conjugamentally.com and Mitch Viejo. I'm going to turn this back over to Miss Kat. We're running a little tight. Miss Kat, turn it back over to you, ma'am.
All right, thanks. Everybody, come on out to the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, hoodooheritagefestival.com. Buy your tickets, and we will see you next weekend live. No show. It'll be a repeat. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Ali.
See
you
there.
Good night, all. All right.
Good night. See you next week.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.